want to show you a quote first, and then I'll have prayer. I want you to remember, most of you know that we meet right here at 5:30 every Sabbath morning to pray well before church or Sabbath school. And the form we use is we sing three songs, we read quotes, of which you're going to see just one. Then we read all the text in Scripture on the Holy Spirit, and then we kneel and we pray. And you'll get an idea why we think that's important. And by the way, anybody here who wants to come, you're invited. So take a look at this quote. Wherever the people of God are assembled, Satan and his angels are found to exercise their power through what? Through human agencies. If the evil one can find one person open to his suggestions, he presses his advantage. When the earthly tendencies control the mind, the spiritual nature is what? Benumbed, and men, from Isaiah, seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. The natural current of the thought is not spiritual. And it is difficult for those whose minds are open to suspicion, evil surmising, envy, and unbelief are unable to receive the truth or to be impressed with the message of God. Do you hear that? Now, look at that. The quote isn't done yet, but that means that I stand the chance of showing up here under the guidance of Satan as your pastor. See, does that quote say parentheses, but not Pastor Neary? Does it say that? No. And we've got to be more mindful on who's using us at any particular time. Is it building up the work of God and the church of God and even the leadership of God, or is it tearing them down? If it is, that quote says something to us. Take a look at this. Continues. Satan finds ample opportunity to sow tares in the soil that is all prepared for the seed. If he can secure for his agents those who know the truth, through them he can come to others who have assembled to worship God. And their seeds of doubt and unbelief, cherished in one mind, will find entrance into the minds of many others. So, do we come here to pray at 5:30 in the morning because of you? We come here at 5:30 in the morning because of us. We're all human. It's time for us to pull together more fully than we have been. And the sermon today will exemplify and support this as we look at a very well-known story in the Bible. But before we do, let me pray. Oh, Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you are so patient with us, all of us. And for that, we love you more, but we also are aware of the fact that sometimes we slip. Help us, all of us. Let us see the big picture of glorifying God and his church and his truths and not allow ourselves to be caught up into things of murmuring, complaining, and gossiping. Help us, Lord, please. For this is a problem, according to Proverbs and the book of James, that all human beings have. So bless me now as I present your sermon, Lord. Give me the wisdom and make the words simple and understandable. And Lord, don't let there be any distractions so that we can focus and hear, everyone hear distinctly the message you have to each one of us. Blessed to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the sermon, There's Trouble in the Valley. And I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark 9. Children, where are your Bibles? Open them. Turn to Mark and follow along in this story. And then stay with me. For God has something very important to teach us, to share with us. All right, I'm looking for Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to stop at verse 14. I'm also looking for my notes. That's wonderful. Oh, there they are. Okay. You got it? Okay, I'm going to read the story. I'm going to start with verse 14. Children, are you ready? Children? Oh, yeah, thank you, children. That reminds me, when so few people answer, children, our PBE Pathfinder group has already left. They're gone because they're part of the Bible Bowl this afternoon over at LVJA. And so let's pray for them right now. Father, please go with our PBE team, our Pathfinders, our sponsors, our leaders. But Lord, all the clubs that are going from the valley today to share their understanding of Scripture and to experience your Bible in a very unique way. Let them know we're proud of them, we're supporting them, we're behind them, no matter what the result is. So be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's why when I said children, our whole Pathfinder Club is over there, plus the brothers and sisters of the members of the Pathfinders. 14, ready? Come on, church, are you ready? Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Look what it says in God's Word. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with my disciples?" Then one in the crowd answered, saying, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out." And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me." And when he had saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So Jesus said to the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and the water to destroy him. But But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to the distraught father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter no more in him. And then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he had come into his house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Wow. So let's take a look first at the context of this story. Just prior to that experience, Jesus had spent the night on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And there, Peter, James, and John had the privilege of seeing Jesus glorified. The majesty that really Christ possessed. And Moses and Elijah were there. And then they heard the voice of God speak. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. Pay attention to him, the Father said out loud. And it wasn't for Moses' benefit. It wasn't for Elijah's benefit. It wasn't for Jesus' benefit. It was for Peter, James, and John and you and my benefit. Now, this is the second time that God spoke to Jesus. He spent 30 years on this earth not hearing the voice of God. And at his baptism, he heard him say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the second time God spoke to Jesus. Only this time, he said to those around there, hear him. And so this is unusual, because later on in John 12 is the third time the Father spoke to Jesus, just before the cross of Calvary. And that was in the presence of the Gentile, the Greeks who had come to see him in the crowd standing around. Folks, let me tell you something very important, but I got to move on. If you read your Bible carefully, when the Father spoke, I have both glorified it and will glorify it. The Bible clearly says some standing there heard thunder. Others heard a voice. And so he gets down to the valley, and here are the characters. First of all, the disciples. Secondly, the multitude. Thirdly, the scribes. Fourthly, the father of the child. Fifthly, the son. And, of course, Jesus was there. That's the list of the characters present. And now let's look at the situation really quick. Let's go back to verse 17 and 18. The situation that confronted Jesus when he came off the mountain of transfiguration. Verse 17 says this. And then one in the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gashes with his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. That's the situation that Jesus was confronted with when he came off the mountain after being up there with Peter, James, and John. This becomes significant. But let's look at what Jesus said. Does this surprise you? I use the Amplified Bible because it says, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'Oh, faithless ones, unbelieving and without trust in God, a perverse,'" which means wayward, crooked, warped generation, "'how long shall I be with you and bear with you?'" Does that sound like Jesus to you? Come on. Are you there? You know, every time I read this, even though I have a greater understanding right now for this sermon's sake, I still don't fully understand. That's what Jesus said. He did not mince words. He told them, "You are a faithless generation." By the way, if you're still in Mark 9, it says faithless generation. But in Matthew and Luke, he says faithless and perverse. That's what Jesus said to them. Now, why did Jesus say that to them? Just stop for a quick second. And I know you're thinking. I want you to think. Go beyond the surface thoughts. "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you?" Well, let's take a look at the characters again. Are you ready? We already looked at the characters. Now let's look at their attitudes, folks. Okay? The disciples. They were jealous of Peter, James, and John for being brought up to the mountain without Jesus. Well, without them. By Jesus. They were perplexed because they could not cast the demon out. And they were humiliated because the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, the rabbis, were making it plain to the multitude that they failed. Then we've got the multitude. And this is a confused, unbelieving group of people. In fact, I like how it says, they're over there listening to the scribes ridiculing the disciples, and suddenly they see Jesus and they all run over there. Can you see them running back and forth, looking for the next great thing and ignoring what's right in front of their eyes? And then we've got the scribes. The scribes were doubting and caviling. I looked up the word cavil. It means mumble, murmur, complain, gossip. And then we've got the father. The father was faithless, but you know what? I'll tell you how beautiful God is and inspiration works. When I read this scripture to you today from my Bible, God gave me a thought I never had before. And that is, Jesus said to the father, "How long has he been in that condition?" And what did the father say? "Since childhood." How did a son get a demon in childhood? Except or unless it was his father's behavior. And I got to heighten this. I got to get to the son. I got to heighten this for you. I want you to remember that Jesus was transfigured just 12 hours earlier. Jesus' glory shone through fully and mightily. The disciples had to hide their faces. But he had to leave the mountain and the glory because there was trouble in the valley. We find the disciples jealous, perplexed, humiliated, the multitude confused, unbelieving, the scribes doubting and complaining, the father faithless and maybe responsible for his son's devil possession, and the son was devil possessed. And no one could help the boy. And I think of Jesus coming off the mountain where he was glorified and seeing one of his children laying on the ground, foaming at the mouth, in public of a great multitude, while the scribes and Pharisees are going, "See, the desire of ages says, there's a demon Jesus can't cast out." And the people going, "Yeah, yeah," they weren't able to cast him out. Maybe we shouldn't believe in Jesus. And the disciples, "Why couldn't we have done it? This is humiliating." And the father, deep inside, maybe as Jesus spoke to him, figured it out that it's his past behavior that allowed his son to be devil possessed. But folks, none of these characters could help the boy. Couldn't do him any good. See, when we're jealous, perplexed, humiliated, confused, unbelieving, doubting, cabaling, faithless, we are no good to anybody except Satan, not to Jesus. And by the way, Jesus was there. He took care of the situation in spite of their jealousy, perplex, humiliation, confusion, unbelief, doubting, convulsing, fatherless, and devil possession. Not only that, imagine being on the mountain glorified and you come down and there's your mortal enemy destroying a little child in front of his face. How long do I have to put up with you? And everybody sort of stopped. And you know, I read that quote to you. How many of the multitude, how many of the scribes, how many of the disciples understood that it was their actions that caused this mess to take place? Satan uses human instruments, even and especially in the church. And so I come here at 5:30. I pray. I tell the Lord, I don't want to bring Satan here. Take this bad attitude out of my mind. You know, when Jesus looked out at his disciples, he saw men he loved. And I would have gone, bring lightning down from heaven and get rid of them. By the way, you think I'm kidding? I want you to look, if you read the beginning of Mark 9 or Matthew 17 or Luke 9, you will see that on the way down, he said, "I don't want you to tell anybody about this until after my resurrection." And the Bible says, and the disciples discussed among themselves, Peter, James, and John. What did he mean by after his resurrection? 3 years and they hadn't got it yet. And so Jesus said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." I don't want that to be me, folks. And because of the love that God has put in my heart for you, even though I'm a faulty, erring person, I don't want that to be you. Jesus deserves every single one of his children. And when we got these kind of attitudes, we play right into Satan's hand. And we actually tie Jesus' hands. How did they do it? That whole time in the valley, all this is going on before Jesus got there. His suffering was prolonged. Well, what's the solution? Jesus gave the solution. Verses 19 through 21. Let's read 19 through 21. I don't know. I keep my finger in the Bible when I do this. I don't know if you keep your finger in the Bible. Do you have it? Mark 9. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then they brought him to him. And when they saw me immediately convulsed, I guess I'm reading the wrong place, folks. I apologize. So go to verse 25. No, 26. Shame on me. Verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Did you get the answer? And Jesus said, this kind does not come out except by what? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And none of these people, you saw the list, none of those people were praying and fasting. They were all worried about their own selves. And maybe their own little space and the things that were done to them which weren't fair. Or how much they didn't like so-and-so and they were going to get... And I think that's me. That's me. Lord, cleanse me. And so the Bible very clearly says, by the way, this is from Matthew, the answer, the solution. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say to those in the mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to the Paradise Church. Nothing will be impossible if we would practice more often praying together and even fasting. We did that for 10 days. It wasn't because it made us look good or big or great or wonderful. We did it because this kind comes out no other way but by prayer and fasting. Now I'm going to take liberty here as I close this sermon. I'm just really convicted. He specifically was addressing the incident the disciples referred to. How come we could not cast that demon out? Jesus said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And the thought occurred to me, do you have a bad attitude? Are you perplexed? Are you doubting? Are you convulsing? Are you faithless? That those attitudes don't come out unless you fast and pray. People who are so concerned about their sinful lives that instead of worrying about all these other things, they get down and say, Lord, fix me. I'll never forget. One of my elders in one of my churches, and he called me into his office. He was a businessman, very successful. And I said, we chit-chatted, and then he said, Pastor, our marriage is really bad. And my wife, see, by the way, he was from Africa. His wife was from the islands. She was a doctor, and he wasn't as educated, but he's a successful businessman. And their house was like this. And I listened to him, you know, and I thought, Lord, what do I say? And folks, I want to tell you, sometimes the books aren't enough. It's the Spirit. And the Spirit says to me, tell him he has to pray that God changes his heart. I said that to him. He came up off the desk. I thought he was going to come across, grab me, and punch me. He said, Pastor, didn't you listen to me? It's not me. And I thought, well, the Spirit told me to say that, so I'm going to repeat it. I said, Sam, and that was his real name. I said, Sam, you can't change her, but you can allow God to change you. And when you are changed, she will be changed. He called me up a month later. Hi there. I didn't know you were there. He called me up a month later. And I went in there with fear and trembling. He said, Pastor, my marriage is fantastic. Now, if you think I made that up, pulled it out of the air. Sam, Jenny, you know Sam. Folks, we got to fast and pray for ourselves and each other. And when we do that, these attitudes. Pastor, did you see the attitudes? Oh, you saw it. Okay. I was going to go back to it anyway. Jealousy, perplexity, humiliation, confusion, unbelief, doubting, cavilling, faithlessness, devil possession. The only one with peace in the valley was Jesus. And the only way we're going to overcome this is by fasting and praying. And God is ready to do great things through the Paradise Church. But it will only happen when all of us, including the pastors, pull together with you and we fight through our differences, our disagreements, our disappointments. Because these kind do come out. Amen? Because of Jesus, they come out. But only with fasting and prayer. By the way, I need to show you one more text and I'm done. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. So with the fasting and praying, the Bible has to be the center stage. And when that happens, we will not be like the Father, even though I repeat the Father's prayer often. I believe, but please help my unbelief. There was a fire in the house in the Midwest in the winter. It was cold. And by the time the fire department arrived there, the fire was raging and smoke was billowing out all over. And there was a little boy, 4 years old, who got separated in the house from his parents in the panic and in the fear and anxiety, and somehow remembered the attic and the window at the attic where he could get out onto the roof. Because the smoke was filling the house, the little boy was coughing and he couldn't breathe. He got out onto the roof and he began to yell, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And all of a sudden he heard a voice that said, Son, son, move over to the edge. And the little boy moved over to the edge. And then the son said, Jump. And the little boy said, But Daddy, I can't see you. And the father said, Son, that's okay, because I see you jump. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for counseling us, giving us wisdom. And sometimes it hurts, Lord. We are so rebellious. And there's things you ask us, we don't want to do them. But when we're like that, we're like the valley below, Lord, where there's trouble. We don't want to be there. Help us, please. Send the Spirit. Don't let anybody in here leave without making a decision. In fact, Lord, here's what I ask, that you speak to each individual heart in this sanctuary right now. Whatever it is you have to communicate to us individually. And then give us the Spirit so we have the courage to obey and follow. So blessed to this end, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.